Green science could be defined as the development, application, and assessment of eco-friendly thinking to scientific disciplines. That means not only chemistry, actually to do something.
Welcome, welcome to Chelonia Podcast, a podcast about the use of scientific discoveries and technology applications. We provide the best information on projects participated by Chelonia and many more. My name is Gabriella Bernardi. I'm a science journalist, and in today's episode, we talk about green science and green medicine with Vania Zuin-Zeidler, professor of sustainable chemistry of renewable organic resource, Institute of Sustainable Chemistry at Lufthansa University, Lemberg. It's a pleasure to meet you, and would you please briefly introduce yourself?
First, thank you very much for this warm invitation. I'm really happy to be with you, and thanks also for the wonderful possibility to spread, and to reflect about this topic. So I would like to say that I am a very curious and engaged person, trying to understand and contribute to the construction of a better, not only greener, but also more sustainable socio-environmental world realities in present and also in future. You understand that when I'm talking about time for drugs. But I am a professor at Lufthansa University in Lüneburg, as mentioned, working in the field of renewable organic resources and its application to biorefineries, waste valorization, and education. It's really important to do what Gabrielle is doing here, to translate the content that we have when we are producing science to all people. And my major interests cover the development of analytical methods, not only to extract, but also to transform bioactive high-value organic compounds from agro-industrial residues into bioactive products, of course. And also, as I just mentioned, I am developing some educational materials for higher education to universities, to educate not only the professionals, but all people when we are doing this kind of new curricula. I'm also working hard to try to advance diversity and inclusion in our field of chemistry, especially in emerging economies and regions under economic and political constraints. And I would summarize like that what I am, or what I think I am, and what I'm doing in terms of sustainable chemistry.
Green science and green medicine. How the pharmaceutical industry can co-create a sustainable now was the title of a discussion at the Berlin Science Festival. Can you please explain the subject and tell us which are the hardest difficulties?
Yeah, thanks. It's a very good question also. So green science could be defined as the development, application, and assessment of eco-friendly thinking to scientific disciplines. That means not only chemistry, actually to do something greener, we should work together. It's a collective kind of construction. But for green sustainable chemistry, it means to prevent pollution at the very beginning by the design. And then, of course, after designing and to produce, and also to use chemicals, but also methods based on renewable and benign auxiliaries, for instance, solvents for reactions and also for separations, reducing the number of processing steps. And of course, now it's a very important topic, the energy consumption. And we have here another concept based on atom economy, that means incorporating all of our raw materials into our product. And applying these concepts, we can produce medicine or drugs, as mentioned by my colleague, Professor James Clark, and also my colleague here from Lofana, Klaus Kummerer. It looks even more broadly when we try to understand the relationships between the production system and the ecosystem. So we are thinking about the integration of the ecological integrity, societal responsibility, this is really important, and economic viability, taking into account the broadest level systems approach, looking also at the planet as the system of interest in a kind way, in order to optimize design at this scale, and also new ways of determining human impacts on the social environment. And we have many, as you mentioned, challenges related to the production of drugs in general, and we have some ideas that could improve this production that are related to greener or more sustainable ways to promote healthy globally, which could considered in like two main categories, as we have discussed at the Berlin Science Festival. The first block or category is the environmental sustainability, including green drug discovery or design, the way to produce and to supply chains also relate to that, that is related to carbon footprint, and circular chemistry and economy. And the second category, talking about challenges, is the social challenge related to intellectual property, for instance, for drugs, collaboration models to drive innovation. These is areas that are relevant for underprivileged world and healthcare access to everyone. So I would put in these two big categories that are the main challenges that we have to face as society in general, and mainly as scientists.
Professor, would you like to tell us about the temporal problem of the efficacy of drugs?
Yes, I love to work with the concept of, for instance, waste, because waste, as we are seeing in our society, it seems a problem of place and time. This is the same for some drugs. As we are discussing here in our group at Lofana, the history of the drugs or pharmaceutical sciences, it's a kind of never-ending creation of new bioactive compounds and or mechanisms for the treatment of diseases. As we know, not only the manufacturing of drugs, but also the use of some of them are associated with contamination of the social environment. Of course, also with the production of chemicals. Today, at least in the so-called developed countries, that is generally not the case anymore. So we are talking about contamination. And for pharmaceuticals and their metabolites and the products of incomplete degradation can be present in the social environment because of their use, not because of improper treatment. Sometimes it can also be a problem in terms of time and also quantity. And they can also be present in effluents. The presence in time of these compounds in the environment contributes to the environment pollution. So fate and effects are not yet fully understood. And we are trying to see this function of a drug that should be understood in terms of time. We have to consider the intake of a bioactive chemical that will be able to play its role only during a specific time window, being decomposed or metabolized into non-toxic transformation products before their excretion, ideally, of course. And the ideal drug of the future, theoretically at least, are drugs that are 100% effective during this time window. Of course, this is in theory, and we are working on that. And as we discussed it at the Berlin Science Week, according to a study developed recently by AstraZeneca, 88% of pharmaceuticals in the environment are from patient use and excretion, ultimately landing in wastewater. And 10% of these, let's say, pharmaceuticals in the end, from unused medicines that dispose of property, and 2% attributed to waste from production. So this is also something very important, that the use of a drug can be a source of pollution.
This is very important. And what is the environmental footprint in medicine?
Yes, this is also something really important to take into account. In general, the environmental footprint can be understood as the effect that a person, a company, activity, etc. has on the environment. For example, the number of natural resources that they use and the quantity of harmful gases that they will produce. Every company, organization, or person, let's think about industries, should work towards a zero environment footprint by conserving, restoring, and replacing the natural resources used in its operations. So, also based on a recent study published by Lenzen in the Lancet, greenhouse gas emissions and climate change are an important pathway of the negative health impact resulting from the environment footprint of medicine, which is part of the healthcare. And the assessment of this global environment footprint can be made based on the available data. Sometimes it's really difficult to assess, to see this data, and using a panel of indicators that are relevant to medicine and health outcomes, and that enable a cycle of adverse feedback to be captured. So these indicators can include greenhouse gas emissions, particulate matter, air pollutants like nitrogen oxides or sulfur dioxide, reactive nitrogen in water, and scarce use water use, and the changing climate due to an increase in greenhouse gas emissions can lead to an increase in disease and injury incidents, as we are seeing today, as a result of heat waves or cyclones, floods everywhere. And then we have here again, in turn, leading to a potential increase in healthcare costs and greenhouse gas emissions. So I think this is a very interesting example to understand that everything is connected. When we are not being greener or more sustainable in producing medicines or drugs or using these products, we can also contribute to this problem, to have a high environmental footprint, not only in industry, but also as society in general. Yeah, I would like to show this, to highlight that everything is connected. So,
Professor, do you think that the new technology can help, or maybe there are other expedients?
A fantastic point. So, yes, they can help, but we have, let's say, technologies already available to provide greener or more sustainable medicines or drugs. And I would say that we have new, not only new, but social technologies. They are really important. It's about sustainable chemistry, because we are not working alone. We have to dialogue with our colleagues from different fields. And in general, the idea to produce the ideal drug should be considered, but it's almost a dream, involving, let's say, less hazardous chemicals or toxic chemicals as a goal. And it should be designed, this drug, from the very beginning to ensure a biocircular economy. But let's think, if chemicals cannot be circulated, if we have a toxic or non-metabolized pharmaceuticals or pesticides, surfactants, and many others as toxic transformation products, we have to remove these contaminants from the next cycle. And then we need technology to provide that. Because ideally, again, we are aiming at to obtain a complete mineralization to like avoid some contamination. And after, of course, delivered these compounds, their function. This is named as benign by design. And the green sustainable chemistry addresses the reduction and the simplification of the total substance. We are using only what is enough for this function. That means not only the material, but also the product flows from the local to the global level. And then we are not only focused on the synthesis of a molecule. The design for recycling would be very important for both the synthesized molecules and also for the waste linked to their synthesis, which is another, as I mentioned, important aspect to be considered. For green sustainable chemistry, we have many principles and keystones. Of course, we have to use techniques to reduce or eliminate the use of and the generation of hazard substances. We have to use only the necessary energy for all processes. And as you mentioned, Gabriela, encompassing responsibility from the molecular to the larger scales. So we should be very responsible, not only as chemists, but also to think in not the micro, but the macro levels also. And again, it's not about to avoid waste, but it's to prevent or to understand how we can design products to promote health. It's about that. It's not an idea of value from the economic dimension only. It's more than that. The value, it's not about only about related to the costs or something like budget. It's not that. The value, it's something more.
Now we are at the end of this podcast, but finally, why have you chosen to be a chemist in these particular fields?
Yeah, thanks for this question. I had to stop to think, to reflect, and it was an invitation to return like many years, decades ago. So I was really happy to do this exercise. But I could realize that when I decide to work on renewables, it was because I realized that all materials, but also the non-material dimensions, like when we are designing something, it's something related to the thoughts, the concepts. So we have the materials and the non-material resources. Everything is interlinked. And I also consider that chemistry should promote healthier and fairer realities to all people, to our environment. When I'm talking about society, it's for all people in the globe, but also to take care of our natural or constructed environment. So, and I start to apply greener and more sustainable methods to remove, for instance, valuable chemicals from agro-industrial waste in Brazil. And there, so we are working with local, let's say, organic resources as citrus, mango, guava, soya bean waste, and here in Germany with apple pomace to produce bioactive products as drugs or biopesticides, but for organic farming, an area that is related to renewable organic resources. So it's wonderful to close, I think, the loops based on the biocircular economy approach, but with a wider perspective, using the same idea we have been applying for a long time as society. For instance, I used to live in a farm when I was, well, more decades, yeah, let's say, yet, compared to the time when I was a student. But we have there, when we are living or working in a farm, some key aspects that are sufficiency, consuming What is enough to provide or to produce what is necessary? Consistency, it's a different production model with eco-effectivity and efficiency, that is the ration benefit. What I need to do to achieve, but without impacting the environment. Again, the environment, it's the social environment. So I really love my work because I can be connected to many interesting people like you and also the people interested in your podcast. And I think we have to be connected to face many challenges that we have nowadays in our world. So thank you for the opportunity to reflect with you about these topics.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Professor Zuin Zaiden, for joining us today at this podcast. And thanks our listeners. If you have any questions about today's show, you can get in touch on Kelonia Twitter and feel free to subscribe to Kelonia.Swiss website and be part of the community. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next interview. Thank you again, Professor.
Thank you.